भागवतम की और ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरयेत् नाष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवति सेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्ति भक्ति नैष्ठिकी हरे कृष्ण डियर डिवोटीज सो दिस मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 2 वर्स 24 द चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड स्टेटस क्वो एंड the chapter is entitled, and this is Uddhava talking to Vidura. Let's do word for word first. Manye, I think. Asuran, the demons. Bhagavatan, great devotees. Sri Adhishe, unto the Lord of the trees. Samrambha,
Samrambha,
enmity,
enmity,
Marga,
Marga,
by the way of,
by the way of,
Abhinivishta Chittan,
Abhinivishta Chittan,
absorbed in thought,
absorbed in thought,
yea,
those,
Samyuge,
Samyuge,
in the fight,
fight.
Achakshata,
Achakshata,
could see, Tarkshaputram,
Tarkshaputram,
Garuda, the carrier of the Lord.
Garuda, the carrier of the Lord.
Amse,
Amse,
on the shoulder.
On the shoulder.
Sunabha,
Sunabha,
the wheel.
Wheel.
Ayudham,
Ayudham,
one who carries the weapon.
One carries the weapon.
Apatantam,
Apatantam,
coming forward.
Coming forward.
Translation. Oh, Manye Suram Bhagavatam Tayadishe.
Manye Suram Bhagavatam Strayadishe.
Manye Suram Bhagavatam Strayadishe.
Manye Suram Bhagavatam Strayadishe.
Samrambha Marga Binivishta Chittan.
Samrambha Marga Binivishta Chittan.
Samrambha Marga Binivishta Chittan.
Samrambha Marga Binivishta Chittan.
Ye Samyuge Chakshata Takshaputram.
Ye Samyuge Chakshata Takshaputram.
Amse Sunabha Yudham Apatantam.
Amse Sunabha Yudham Apatantam.
Amse Sunabha Yudham Apatantam.
Amse Sunabha Yudham Apatantam.
Manye Suran Bhagavatam Strayadishe.
Manye Suran Bhagavatam Strayadishe.
Samrambha Marga Binivishta Chittan.
Samrambha Marga Binivishta Chittan.
Ye Samyuge Chakshata Takshaputram.
Ye Samyuge Chakshata Takshaputram.
Amse Sunabha Yudham Apatantam.
Amse Sunabha Yudham Apatantam.
Please chant.
Manye Suram Bhagavatam Strayadishe.
Manye Suram.
Amse Sunabha Yudham Apatantam.
yesam yuge chakshatatasya putram. Amse sunama yudham apatantam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. I consider the demons who are inimical towards the Lord to be more than the devotees, because while fighting with the Lord, absorbed in thoughts of enmity, they are able to see the Lord carried on the shoulder of Garuda, the son of Tarkshya, Kashyapa, and carrying the wheel weapon in his hand. Let's repeat together. I consider the demons, who are inimical towards the Lord, to be more than the devotees, because while fighting with the Lord, absorbed in thoughts of enmity, they are able to see the Lord carried on the shoulder of Garuda, the son of Tarkshya, Kashyapa, and carrying the wheel weapon in his hand. Purport. The asuras who fought against the Lord face to face got salvation due to their being killed by the Lord. This salvation of the demons is not due to their being devotees of the Lord. It is because of the Lord's causeless mercy. Anyone who is slightly in touch with the Lord, somehow or other is also mentioned in the Sanskrit word is yadrichaya. I really like this word, yadrichaya. Somehow or other is greatly benefited, even to the point of salvation, due to the excellence of the Lord. He is so kind that he awards salvation even to his enemies, because they come into contact with him and are indirectly absorbed in him by their inimical thoughts. Actually, the demons can never be equal to the pure devotees, but Uddhava was thinking in that way because of his feelings of separation. He was thinking that at the last stage of his life, he might not be able to see the Lord face to face as with the demons. I'll just stop for a moment here. In verse 7 of this chapter, when Uddhava and Vidura had first met, and Vidura is on a pilgrimage. When he left, he didn't want to stay because the Kauravas really insulted him, Duryodhan insulted him. So he is on a pilgrimage and he meets Uddhava here on the banks of the Yamuna. So he asks him, how are the Duryas doing? How were the Kaurus? How were the Yadus? And Uddhava says, my dear Vidura, the son of the world, this is in verse 7, my dear Vidura, the son of the world, Lord Krishna has set, and our house has now been swallowed by the great snake of time. What can I say to you about our welfare? So Krishna has already left the planet when Vidura met him. So he's actually in great sorrow. He's grieving. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in part of where he did his commentary on this part of the Bhagavatam, he says that Vidura is actually in his ecstasy is actually thinking, I'd rather be an enemy, so I can see Krishna face to face when I die. Because so many of his enemies, Krishna was in front of them and they were able to see him. So continuing with the purport, the fact is that devotees who are always engaged in the devotional service of the Lord in transcendental love are rewarded many hundreds and thousands of times more than the demons by being elevated to the spiritual planets, where they remain with the Lord in eternal blissful existence. So as I was reading this purport, I was reminded of another thing which I'm actually studying with the Sadhu Sangha group, Sadhu Sangha online with Dhruva Maharaj Prabhu. I just joined their group for the first time ever, and they're studying Canto 10 and Chapter 1 right now. So last week, the discussion was about the bhakta who is very much, totally purified, and could go back to Godhead, to the spiritual world, but they're first transferred to a material planet where Krishna is having his pastimes. And there they're trained up under the guidance of a Brajvasi. And once we get trained up, that's when the bhakta will go back to the spiritual world, go to the spiritual planet. So you're talking about it, wait. Or rather, it's okay as long as, if I'm on the material planet where Krishna is exhibiting his pastimes, and actually I heard this many, many years ago by Pran Govinda Prabhu when he was having a group for our boys, I don't know, 15 years ago. And that's when he had first mentioned that it was in the 10th canto. So it was very fascinating. And it's amazing that Krishna, so there's a system. You first are here, you're getting trained up by serving the deities, by chanting, by serving in different ways. And then you go to a planet where Krishna is exhibiting his pastime. So that is very special. Or continuing with the purport. The demon and impersonalists are awarded the facility of merging in the Brahma Jyoti effulgence of the Lord, whereas the devotees are admitted into the spiritual planets. For comparison, one can just imagine the difference between floating in space and residing in one of the planets in the sky. So I would like for all of my esteemed audience to close your eyes and imagine you're floating in the space. Would you rather float in a space or you want to reside on a planet where you can serve Krishna? So when I imagined that, I was imagining, like, you know, they say, you're a fly in the sky. So you are invited to this big, humongous party, and there's lots of food, there is refreshments, there is fun. But what you're told is, buddy, you are a fly on the wall. No refreshments for you. You just sit there. You're hung up there, and you're just standing, you're there. So that's what the demons are getting. You're just floating around in space. No interactions. Continuing with the purport, the pleasure of the living entities on the planets is greater than that those of who have no body and who merge with the molecules of the sun's rays. I'm sorry, I want to read this again. The pleasure of the living entities on the planets is greater than that those who have no body and who merge with the molecules of the sun's rays. The impersonalists, therefore, are no more favored than the enemies of the Lord. Rather, they are both on the same level of spiritual salvation. Om Agyana Pignandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Litam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Venimaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangur Lamhayate Giram Yat Kripatam Mandi Shri Gurum Dinakarma. Hare Krishna. So as I was reading this purport, the main points which are in the verse as well as the verse and the purport. So I just kind of was noting down the points which I have, and I'll address them as we go along. The first point is that Krishna, in the verse itself, it says that the demons are absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Abhinivishta chittan. That's something which I want to address. And that they are face to face when they are dying. And because of the causeless mercy of the Lord that this is happening, actually is described that Krishna actually could kill the demons. You know, he doesn't have to actually personally appear. He can kill the demons, hundreds and thousands of demons, without having to appear in this world. But he, because of his mercy, he's actually there so they can get liberation. He's there, he comes personally. Of course, he also is there to enliven the devotees. And then talks about slightly in touch with Krishna. That anybody who comes even slightly in touch with Krishna, they get that, some benefit, of course. But that as you're dying and you get in touch with Krishna, of course, you've got some kind of liberation. And that Prabhupada says devotees get rewarded hundreds and thousands of times more than the demons. So let's see. So Vidura is talking to Uddhava, or Uddhava is talking to Vidura. So I'll address the last part of this verse today. First, Amse Suna Bhayudam Apatantam. That he saw the Lord carrying the wheel weapon. So he's saying the demons are able to see the Lord carried on the shoulder of Garuda and carrying the wheel weapon in his hand. So it reminded me of this nice, beautiful painting of Krishna carrying the wheel and attacking Bhishma Dev, who was dressed in all white. And I never really noticed that, but on closer examination, you see there's Arjuna on the side holding onto Krishna's feet. He's like grabbing onto Krishna's feet and very tightly. Padam padam yatte padam natesham. So accepting the lotus feet, the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, the ocean of this material world is shrinks into the shape like the size of a hoofprint of a calf. So Prabhupada says in that verse, when he talks about that, that the goal is Vaikuntha, the place where there are no material desires, not the place where there is danger at every step, so that we can remember Krishna at the end of our life, Ante Narayanam Smriti. And we see so many of our devotees who are leaving their bodies, as Dhruva Maharaj Prabhu was pointing out, that since June, at least 10 of his godbrothers actually left. And we see in amazing, amazing examples of how their thoughts were fixed on Krishna, how the devotees came, were there to chant for them, chant with them. So they are hearing the holy name, they are getting the Maha Garland of the deities, they are getting Tulsi in their mouth, Maha Tulsi, Charnamrita. So, such a blessing to be in the association of devotees. And so you can see Krishna face to face, because they are there, to give that, provide that. Although, one thing I was thinking when I read this verse, that the demons were seeing the Lord carrying on the shoulder, carrying the wheel weapon. So I'm thinking, the only time that I know that Krishna picked up the wheel weapon was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Kind of a contradiction to me, but maybe somebody can tell me there any other pastime of that, the Lord carrying the wheel, but he's on Garuda. So he was actually got off the chariot and he was carrying the wheel. So I could not reconcile the two. If anybody else could reconcile, I would appreciate, otherwise we'll move along.
I think maybe they're, when they say the wheel weapon, I think they're just referring to the Sudarshan Chakra. And because, at least this is my understanding, and because Krishna promised not to pick up any weapons in the battle of Kurukshetra, he didn't call his Sudarshan Chakra, that's why he picked up the wheel weapon, which was representing
Sudarshan
Chakra, but it also technically wasn't a weapon.
Ah, amazing. Thank you, Hamsa. That is amazing. I'm really thankful that you are here and you were able to clarify this contradiction in my mind. So wheel weapon is the Sudarshan Chakra, which we see every morning when we come to the temple. And it's so nicely Sudarshan on top of our temple. The wheel weapon. Oh, I'm so happy. Thank you. So, okay, moving along. So in the first line of today's verse, Uddhava refers to Krishna as Manya Suran Bhagavatam Trayidhishe. Trayadhishe. So that address to Krishna was also kind of unique to me. Tri Adhishe means unto the Lord of the Threes. So as I was looking for the meaning of this word, more elaboration on this, I actually saw the verse only two verses before this. We actually had this word mentioned also. And unfortunately, I apologize because I work. I don't listen to the classes on a regular basis. Sometimes I hear it on YouTube. So, but the devotee who gave class on Wednesday must have addressed this, but I thought I'll just kind of refresh for the benefit of those who didn't hear, and for me as well, that the verse said that Krishna is Trayadhishe, the Lord of all kinds of trees, and is independently supreme by achievement of all kinds of fortune. And Srila Prabhupada elaborates that Krishna is so mild and merciful, and yet he's the Lord of all kinds of trees. And some of the threes are mentioned. He's the Supreme Lord of the three worlds, the three qualities of material nature, and the three Purushas. Karmadakshai Vishnu, Garbhadakshai Vishnu, and Shirodakshai Vishnu. He is also the Lord of the three principal potencies, namely Chit Shakti, Maya Shakti, and Tathashta Shakti. So now moving on to the demons, those who are seeing Krishna face to face at the time of death, and absorbed in thoughts of him. So in Canto 2, Chapter 7, there is a list of all of the demons who Krishna killed and they attained salvation. So I'm going to just kind of mention them. This is verses 34 and 35. Starts with Yecha Pralamba, Khara Dardara, Keshi Arista. All demonic personalities like Pralamba, Dhenuka, Baka, Keshi, Arista, Chanura, Mushtika, Kovayalapida, Kamsa, Yavana, Narakasura, and Pondraka, Shalva, Dvivida, Balvala, Dantavakra, the seven bulls, some of them are actually killed by Balaram. Vidurata, Rukmi, Kamboja, Matsya, Kru, Suranjaya, Srinjaya, Kekaya, The demons thus being killed would attain either the impersonal Brahma Jyoti or the Lord's personal abode in the Vaikuntha planets. So Prabhupada says in the purport of that those verses is that those who recognize the Lord would enter Vaikuntha, those are the demons, and those who estimated the Lord as only a powerful being would attain salvation by merging into the spiritual existence of the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. So when we say the word salvation, it means they get released from the material existence, in the sense they don't have those material sufferings which we have. So even though you are a fly on the wall in the impersonal Brahman, you're not bombarded by the three modes of material nature. So in that sense, they get liberated from the material existence. Prabhupada says in the end of that purport, since such is the benefit of those who played with the Lord inimically, one can imagine what would be the position of those who devoutly serve the Lord in transcendental relationship with Him. And Prabhupada in today's purport says, we have hundreds and thousands of times more spiritual benefits. So, one demon which I wanted to particularly mention, which is not mentioned in the above verse, which I just said, was Putana. The previous verse on Friday, the famous Aho Baki Yam Stanakala Putam, Putana is mentioned, Putana's liberation is mentioned. So Acharyas described that Bakasura and Nagasura, both Putana's brothers, they went to Vaikuntha. And Putana, as we know, went to Goloka Vrindavan, and she is the nurse of Krishna, or she is the nurse or the mother of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. And as far as I know, Putana is the only demon killed by Krishna who went to Goloka Vrindavan. Do we know of any other demon who went to Goloka Vrindavan after Krishna killed them?
Some demon are more fortunate than Putana, like Kaliya.
Kaliya.
Kaliya carried all the gopis and Krishna dancing on his foot.
Yes, literally. Yes.
So that's very astute.
Right, right. But Krishna didn't kill him. Krishna didn't kill him, right?
Yeah, he killed his
demonic
nature.
Yes, evil nature. Thank
in
you.
That.
Yes, yes.
Putana, Kaliya is the only demon that did not change any form.
Right.
Made the same form.
Okay.
All the demons changed the form.
Right. So Prangavinda Prabhu is saying that Kaliya didn't change his form. Most of the other demons, like Putana, was a very beautiful lady, and then she changed into this humongous witch. So all the demons changed their forms, but Kaliya didn't change his form, and he was very, very fortunate, because later on Krishna and the gopis did a rasa dance, a dance on his hoods. So, I was thinking that there was a promise that Krishna had made about Bakasura and Agasura. So I heard a class yesterday by Amarendra Prabhu at I Chopati, and he was talking about the prayers by Brahmaji, Brahma Stuti, in which Brahma says, Sadvesha Adiva Putana Apisakula Adi. So he says, Brahma is saying, oh Krishna, you have so much affection for Putana, just because she had Sadvesha, she was dressed very beautifully, like a nice Vaishnavi. You promised her that I will deliver you and your kula, your all of your people in your family, your brothers Bakasura and Agasura. And Rupa Goswami further kind of elaborates on that, like, you know, it's like a expansion of what his realization is, that Krishna is telling Putana that you're dressed so beautifully that it reminds him of his mother, Mother Yashoda. So he is so much, he loved that, because she's looking like Mother Yashoda, because he's dressed, her dress reminds him of Mother Yashoda, so he was so merciful to her, and then to her two brothers. So they actually went to Vaikuntha. Baka and Aga went to Vaikuntha. Anybody would like to add anything at this point?
She also represents false gurus.
Mataji, what's your name?
My name is Kunti.
Kunti, Hare Krishna.
And I'm mentioning that,
yes.
And you know, because there in the May June issue of Dr. Godhead, there's a very nice synopsis about Putana, that she actually represents false gurus.
Thank you, Mother. Mother Kunti is saying that Putana actually represents false gurus. Yes, each of these demons killed by Krishna represents some anarthas in our heart which can be taken out when we, remove them. Many of those demons are already, all of us have. I know I have all of those demons sitting in my heart. And when we actually read these pastimes and we actually slowly, slowly get rid of those anarthas which are sitting in our heart. Thank you, Mother. So there's another verse which is very similar to today's verse, which I came across. It's in the 7th canto, in the talks between Narada Muni and King Yudhishthira. This is 7.1.27. Prabhuji, if you like, you can put it up. Karnapur Prabhu, 7.1.27, if you can put up. So this verse is, Yatha vera nubandhena martyastan mayatam iyat na tatha bhakti yogena iti me nischitamatihi. Narada Muni is saying here, by devotional service, one cannot achieve such intense absorption and thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as one can through enmity towards Him. That's my opinion. So he's again talking, so this is talk about intense absorption and thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, Shima Narada Muni, the topmost pure devotee, praises Krishna's enemies like Shishupal because their minds are always completely absorbed in Krishna. They're fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna in terms of killing him. Indeed, he thinks himself, so Narada Muni is thinking himself, deficient in the inspiration of being feelingly absorbed in Krishna consciousness. This does not mean, however, that the enemies of Krishna are more elevated than Krishna's pure devotees. So, you know the chain of thought which Srila Prabhupada is having. But Narada Muni, in his humility, is saying that the demons are actually completely absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. So, now we understand why they're getting their liberation. How they're getting liberation? Because they're so much absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. And in the humility, when we see humility, you know, we know, like Krishna's Kaviraj in the Chaitanya Charitamrita calls himself, I'm much more of a sinner than Jagai and Madhai. I am lower than vermin's stool. And also we understand from the Acharyas that when a devotee approaches Srimati Radharani in great humility, that please allow me to offer some service to Krishna, even Srimati Radharani thinks that this devotee is greater than her. So this is the humility of devotees. Very, in fact, the day that we start thinking, I'm all set, I'm all advanced, I am, my position in the spiritual world is secure, that's when we know that we are really not doing too well. And we have to always endeavor to make more material, to make more advancement in Krishna consciousness, to become more attached to Krishna's service. Because as we know that, you know, Lord Balaramji says that even with this shesha, with this thousands and thousands of hoods, cannot even glorify the Lord as much as, because his glories and his pastimes and his, they're so much, so innumerable. So we are just a tiny speck. So we can just keep on plugging in into our service, plugging in into our sadhana, and never think that we are very advanced. That's what I understand. So, with the in this verse, which I was just mentioning, what is the 7.1.27, Srila Prabhupada summarizes, which is very important take-home point from this verse for me. The essential point in this connection is one should be fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, 24 hours a day. So demons are absorbed, how to kill Krishna, right? Even, I mean, you see in the history of this country, when this country was first, you know, when we got, freedom from the British and made the constitution, and separation of church and state is very, very prominent, that there should be no religion, nothing, no state-sponsored religion, in the schools, anywhere in the government. So it's kind of state-sponsored atheism, I would say. That I know that I'm a teacher at the school and we do the Pledge of Allegiance. I do it with my seventh graders in the first period, and almost every day one or the other would be complaining about why should we do the Pledge of Allegiance, and then some of them have even said, why should we say one nation under God, because I don't believe in God. So it is so amazing that even to me it's very astounding that such a small young child has got such strong feelings about not believing in God. So it's very unfortunate. So such an absorption is going on with the demons, how to kill Krishna. As devotees, we need to be focused on how to serve Krishna, how to serve Krishna. How can I serve Krishna today? How can I serve Krishna? I might think that I'm isolated, I am not too, my body doesn't, you know, I'm too old, I am too weak, or I don't have much money. But there's an ocean of service everywhere we go. Right here in Niramarethi, actually I was reading on our little Facebook group we have for the devotees. One devotee, she has it in her carport. She has books on a table and some prasadam every day she puts out. And there's a sign because she gets delivery from the UPS or whatever guys, and she has for delivery people. So they come and they can get prasadam. She's actually enabling the delivery people to come in touch with Krishna, to come in touch, slight touch with Krishna. So we can do, in whatever way we can actually do that. Serve Krishna, serve Krishna, desire to serve Krishna. In fact, Srila Prabhupada says in a purport, I'm not sure which one, but I know this quote, that even if we keep on desiring, sincerely desiring, I want to serve Krishna, I want to serve Krishna, I want to make, maybe I can, I would like to start a preaching center in Savannah, Georgia, because there's such a big, nice congregation, Sakshi Gopal Prabhu is cultivating them. I can just keep thinking about how can I do it. Just the desire to serve, desire to do some service, that alone will take us back to the spiritual world, because that we have a sincere desire. So, I'm just reading some more from the purport. The service of, we were talking about service, so we were, in the purport it mentions how the gopis, you know, when Krishna is out in the forest, gopis are very much concerned that he's walking bare feet, his feet will be getting hurt with the thorns, or Mother Yashoda is always absorbed when Krishna is not with her, or even when he's with her, she will say, you're not eating very well, you should eat more, you should eat this, you should eat that. And she says, you're so weak, you have to eat. So she's always absorbed in how, or she's worried about Krishna might get affected by the bad evil spirit, so she's trying to take away the evil spirit influence. So this service is indirectly praised by Narada Muni in this verse. Especially for the conditioned soul, Narada Muni recommends that somehow or other, now that this word comes again, yadrichaya, one should be absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, for that will save one from all the dangers of material existence. Full absorption in thought of Krishna is the highest platform of bhakti yoga. So actually I was just thinking, one thought which I was having was that we were doing our Bhadra campaign and we have so many sponsors, we have to decide, see who is getting sponsored and the sets are going to India. So I was making this chart and it took me a lot of time to put it all together. And I remember one day when I woke up, I think I was dreaming about these many sets have to go to India, these many sets have to order so they can be picked up, these many sets have to be dropshipped. So whatever service we are engaged in, actually when I was doing my PhD, my professor would say that if you're not dreaming about your thesis, about your topic, unless and until you're dreaming about it, you're not really in it. So yeah, so we need to be dreaming about our service. When we dream about our service, that means we are really, we are fixed in our service and we are really want to make some, we want to please Krishna, we want to please Guru Varga, we want to please Srila Prabhupada, that with our service, a small service, a minuscule service, we are cleaning the temple, the best way we can clean the temple. Every dust particle should be cleaned. No dust mite should be flying around here. That's the mood, that when we are serving, full absorption in thought of Krishna is the highest platform of bhakti yoga. And that's how we get mercy. Because these demons got mercy of Krishna because they were so much absorbed. And I like this word, abhinivishta chittan, absorbed in thought. So when we get mercy, oh, it comes from firm faith. Firm faith, it's called nishtha. We have firm faith that Krishna is my protector, Krishna is my supplier, Krishna is giving me everything. And we get that mercy, in turn we got to be merciful to others, to other living entities. We want to preach, we want to distribute books, we want to give out Harinam. So when I'm very struck with wonder when devotees go out to the football games, they go every Friday for the Harinam. So many people are actually getting in touch with Krishna, hearing the holy name. As they're driving, they stop at the light and they hear the holy name, getting them in touch with Krishna. Or the prasadam distribution at the Santa Fe College, at the UF. We know the results of that, how years and years later, people who were studying at UF have become mayors in different cities in Florida, and they are so much favorable to our Rath Yatra celebrations because they know, oh, I used to eat at Krishna lunch. So we're getting more and more people to come slightly in touch with Krishna. So, however, one needs to remember, we cannot forget where we came from. We should always remember where we came from, who we were, because it's very easy sometimes to see, put yourself a little bit up, because you feel, what do we call them? These karmis. Oh, we were a karmi, I was a karmi, I'm still a karmi, but trying to be servant of Krishna. We should always remember where we came from. And Takshaputra was the last thing which I want to touch on. Takshaputram, Garuda, the carrier of the Lord, who is, Taksha is also the name of Kashyapa. So I thought I'll just kind of give a little background of Garuda's story and some pastimes which have happened with Garuda. So Garuda is actually such a special personality. There is a Puran called Garuda Puran. There's an Upanishad called Garuna Upanishad. So I'm going to read, this is from ISKCON Desire Tree, a write-up I found. Vishnu's divine vehicle is Garuda, a giant eagle, often depicted as having a human body and senses and bird-like forehead, wings, beak and nails. He wears a crown on his head like his master. His names are, many different names. Chirada, Gaganeshwara. Gagan means the sky. So he's Ishwar of the Gagan, he's flying through the Gagan. Kashyapi, son of Kashyapa. Nagantaka, Sitanana, Sudahara, Suparna, Takshya, which is in today's verse, Takshya. Venatya, his mother's name is Vinata. Vishnu Ratha, Ratha means chariot, so Vishnu's Rath, and others. Garuda was born of sage Kashyapa and his wife Vinata. It is said that the Velakalyas, the thumb-sized sages, the 60,000 sages, handed over the fruit of their great penance to sage Kashyapa, who in turn handed it over to Vinata, his wife. Vinata then bore an egg from which arose Garuda, complete with huge wings. One of the most popular tales of Garuda describes his stealing of divine nectar of immortality or amrit from heaven. Now, how this came across was his mother Vinata was enslaved by Kadru, who was his co-wife, and, or not his co-wife, I mean her co-wife. So she was also Kashyapa's wife. So Kadru enslaved Vinata because she lost some kind of bet. I know there's a backstory to this. So Kadru asked that she should get Amrit, the nectar from the heavens, as a ransom to release Vinata. So Garuda said, okay, I'm going to go. He went to Lord Indra's capital, Amaravati, and Indra's armies tried to stop Garuda, but Garuda defeated them all, and he brought the nectar to where his mother was, and actually, by some kind of deceit, he was able to get her released. He did not give the nectar at all to Kadru. Lord Vishnu was actually watching this, and he was very impressed that Garuda was so honest that even though he had access to that nectar, which would have made him immortal, he did not touch it at all. He was carrying it for so long. So Lord Vishnu requested Garuda to become his vahan, or his vehicle, to which Garuda agreed, but he put two conditions. One was that he should be held higher to Vishnu, and second, that he became immortal without drinking the immortality nectar. So Lord Vishnu granted his two wishes. So he placed Garuda on his flagstaff, which is called Garuda Dhaja, to fulfill his wish of being placed higher than Vishnu. Thus was born the concept of Garuda Dhaja. Like on the flag, he's put there also above all temples. So here we have, by the grace of Adidev Prabhu, we have Garuda here in our temple as well, and he's situated on the higher level than the deities. So that was because that was his request. And another thing Garuda has is he has a mark of a snake on his chest, which I don't know if you made it, Prabhuji. But the story is that Indra once granted the serpent Sumukha the boon of immortality. Now Garuda was not very happy about it because Garuda's food is the snake. So he felt that Indra's boon was an insult to him. So he quarreled with Indra and there was a lot of back and forth. And he boasted that I'm even mightier than Vishnu. That's why I'm placed higher than Vishnu. So as punishment for his arrogance, Vishnu pressed one of his fingers on Garuda's person. Garuda felt an unbearable pain and begged Vishnu for relief. So Lord Vishnu relented. But to remind Garuda of his mistake of arrogance, he placed Sumukha on his chest like a garland. And a couple more stories. Oh, so Garuda's brother is actually a very, very elevated personality as well. He's Aruna, who is the charioteer of the sun god. You know the song we sing? Udilo Aruna Purabha Bhage. So Aruna is when the sun rises, we first see the charioteer of the sun god, chariot driver, who's Aruna. And so Garuda lives on this island called Salmali Dweep, where there is a tree called Salmali tree, and this tree is huge, 100 yojanas wide, which is 800 miles wide, and 1100 yojanas tall, which is 8,800 miles. So this tree is 8,800 miles tall. That's where Garuda lives, in Salmali Dweep. So Garuda was given elephants and tortoises as eatables, and he's also known to inhabit Kinnara Lok. And we know about Kinnara Lok, that over in Kinnara Lok, the people have the same features as Garuda. They have the bodily features are like of a human being, but they have wings. And the last thing I want to tell about Garuda's wings, the hymns forming the basis of the Sam Veda were vibrated by the flapping wings of the Lord's carrier, Garuda. And these Samveda, so the two wings, one is the Brihat Sam, the other one is Rathantara. So there are two divisions of the Samveda. When he flaps his wings, those are the two divisions which can be heard. These Samveda utterances are automatically heard by the devotee when another great devotee of the Lord, Garuda, flaps his wing. And we know that very beautiful painting which has been made, which is in Canto 7, where Kadama Muni, Canto 3, I'm sorry, Kadama Muni, whose liberated soul, he sees the Supreme Lord coming and on the way to Vaikuntha, and he hears the flapping of the wings, vibrating the sound of Hare Krishna. As Prabhupada says, he's vibrating the sound of Hare Krishna, the essence of the Samaveda. So yeah, the Garuda, whenever he flaps his wing, the sound of the Samaveda is coming from his wings. So that's very, very unique, very, very special. So Garuda is a very, very unique and very, very advanced devotee of Krishna. So that's all I have today. I will say the verse again, and if anybody has any questions or comments. I consider the demons who are inimical towards the Lord to be more than the devotees, because while fighting with the Lord, absorbed in thoughts of enmity, they are able to see the Lord carried on the shoulder of Garuda, the son of Tarkshya, Kashyapa, and carrying the wheel weapon in his hand. Hare Krishna. If anybody online would like to ask a question, you can please do. I have the chat open. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Madharagatmika.
Hare Krishna. If Garuda is such an exalted devotee, why would he want to be above Krishna?
Good question. I'm not sure.
Hmm. Okay, another question is, you know, you described earlier that painting of Krishna with the wheel attacking Bhishmadi, but and then Arjuna was holding on to Krishna's feet. Why was he doing that? I mean, was he trying to hold him back?
Because he had said he'll not pick up any weapons.
Right, so Arjuna wanted to make his word intact, so he was trying to pull him back.
That's what people don't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never really noticed it until recently that there's Arjuna holding on to Krishna's feet. Does anybody else have anything reason why Arjuna was holding on to Krishna's feet when Krishna was...
He didn't want him to break his promise.
He didn't want him to break his promise, yeah. Thank you, Guru.
And Garuda isn't...
He's not above Krishna, he's above Vishnu. I mean, there's some distinction there. He said he wants to be, Garuda wants to be above Vishnu.
Right.
That's what she said.
No, that's what he had, that was his request. So that's why he's
higher.
He's higher, that's why he's on the flag.
He observed all the obstacles because he carries.
Okay, that's another. Another.
All the obstacles. He has to be on the surveillance camera. He's the surveillance camera.
He's the surveillance camera of the Lord, so he's seeing if there's any obstacles so he can. He can avoid those obstacles.
Yeah.
Although the Lord is sitting on his back, actually I read, I'll just add this, that when the churning of the, before the churning happened of the milk of the ocean and everything was produced, the Lord actually went and picked up the Mandara mountain and put it on the back of Garuda. How strong he is that the Mandara mountain was picked up, put it on his back and brought it over, then the churning happened. Yeah, Prabhuji, thank you very much. So what you said, that that Garuda is actually removing the... Oh, Prabhuji said this, removing all the obstacles. Okay, anybody else?
But does that make him higher or ahead of his head, you know, his...
You know, here's me.
Here's Krishna, and here's Garuda's head going forward.
But what Krishna is doing, here's me. The sound of air of music, each feather, they're like orchestra, the whole music world, the Lord is absorbed, hearing the glory. So he's above just making sure nothing disturbs. Each feather has a, like a different music instrument, and they're singing Sama Veda.
I got that part, but it sounds like when you see Krishna on the back of Garuda, Krishna's above Garuda's head, and he's above the body of Garuda.
Yeah.
But ahead of Garuda, or Garuda might want her to be ahead of Vishnu or Krishna. So therefore his head is forward surveying everything.
He's not ahead of Garuda, but he just wants to make sure everything clear.
Okay.
No obstacle.
No obstacles. And the words which are said, he should be held higher to Vishnu.
Held
so he's held higher to Vishnu.
Held
so
higher than Vishnu.
Higher than Vishnu. So we have got the Garuda Dhvaja.
Kashishya Govinda used to do that. Wherever Mahaprabhu went, Kashishya, Govinda, his servant, was in the back. But in the front, Kashishya, big body, clears everything. And then Mahaprabhu walked.
Mm.
But Govinda in the back, which servant is higher? I don't know. That's very difficult to say, isn't it? Even though Govinda has so many stories, but if you look at the Kashishya, Kashishya Prabhu's story, that Rupa Goswami Pad writes that we have discovered Govinda Dev. So Mahaprabhu said immediately, we need a pujari and help. So Mahaprabhu is sending his own bodyguard, you can say. He's a god brother actually, Kashishya is a god brother. So then he didn't want to go. But then Mahaprabhu says, why you are hesitating my instruction? He said, I cannot leave your service. I'm so attached to you. So then Mahaprabhu pulled from his heart a statue, just like him, said, okay, go with me in that statue.
Mm.
No, I'm not going with the statue. I'm staying with you. Then Mahaprabhu left. Then after a few minutes, the deity started talking. You don't believe me? And it's just the exact same word of Mahaprabhu's voice. Can you give me some food?
Mm-hmm.
What you are serving to other form, I'm the same form.
Then Kashyapa is completely convinced, okay, it is Mahaprabhu. So like this, sometimes they are very intimate relations. But in one sense you can say Govinda has personal servant, personal relationship. Kashyapa also has. But it's a two different view.
Yeah. 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 Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. You good? Oh, let me see if there's anything online. Good morning. Nice lecture today. Jonathan, Zabel, thank you. Hare Krishna. Jai Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vancha Kaita Kuru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Dayudas Patita Nam Pavne Vyo Vashtan Vyo Namo Namaha. Namo Kuti Vashtan Vyo.